You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried out a free trial of Built for the Stage, go to builtforthestage.com and we'll be on our way to 7 days of you working one-on-one with me on an online fitness app. You can do it from anywhere in the world. You don't have to live in New York City. You can be in Brazil right now, for instance, and we could be working together. So builtforthestage.com, special thanks to BPN, Broadway Podcast Network. All right, let's get on to our special guest today. Really excited to finally get to meet this person in virtual person, I guess. Hopefully I'll get to meet them at their show coming up in September. We're going to get into that in just a second. But please welcome to the podcast, Urban Latin singer, songwriter, and composer, J. Chris. What's going on, J. Chris?
Hey, saludos a todos. I just came from Puerto Rico. I did a show there, so I'm practicing my Spanish as I go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the lovely introduction, and I love your love for Brazil.
I love Brazil. I think about moving there sometimes. I'll just go to Rio with my little laptop and have a life in Brazil. But then I'd miss all of you here. So I don't know. I'm torn.
Yeah, I've thought it before.
Where do you prefer? What do you like? Do you like living in the States? Do you like Brazil? What's your preference?
You know, if I have a strong Wi-Fi connection and I can do all my work virtually, I think I should just go to Brazil because I got a Brazilian passport.
Yeah.
I got a Brazilian passport, got Brazilian citizenship. I could make it happen. I mean, during the pandemic, I spent a good amount of time in Rio, and that was pretty sweet because I have a lot of family there. And I mean, you can do most of the stuff that you want to do outdoors anyways.
Yeah. Is most of your family from Brazil, or do you have family elsewhere?
So I got family in Brazil and Peru primarily. Half Brazilian, half Peruvian. And I also have family in Portugal and Italy and the U.S.
Okay. And where did you grow up as a kid?
I grew up in suburban Maryland.
Okay. And how is that having the Peruvian, the Brazilian culture, but being in just good old Maryland?
You know, I have to say that I was fortunate because suburban Maryland, DC area is very cosmopolitan. It was very diverse. So in my classroom alone, when I was in elementary school, you know, you had at least a couple different languages spoken, you know, depending on their background, what they spoke at home and everything. I have to say that, it's not like a lot of people where it's like, it's, you know, very homogeneous and, you know, they're only speaking English and it's only white centered and it's only one thing. So, you know, I'm grateful for that.
Okay, cool. And music was something like right out of the jump, like growing up, you automatically were drawn to it? Or when did you start wanting to be a singer, produce, things like that?
So I started playing at church when I was 9 years old. I started playing the piano and I knew that I loved to perform. I knew that right off the bat. You know, hey, y'all, look at what I've been working on. Let me show it off. That type of thing. You know, it started with that, really. And then the older I got and the more that I got into classical music and in contemporary music, I started to see, you know, I could be writing my own songs and performing my own songs. And then when I saw, right after Michael Jackson died, I saw a lot of his clips. And one that spoke to me the most was his Live in Bucharest on his Dangerous World Tour. And just seeing just how much of a prolific artist he was and how passionate he was about his craft, it made me want to pursue it. I was like, wow, like I feel like I could really write, sing my own music.
Would you say he was one of the most influential artists in your life, or did you have other artists growing up that really impacted you?
There were others. There were others too. I mean, Stevie Wonder, I mean, the guy is magic. It's like, if it's magic, you know, he's just like everything. I mean, the guy doesn't have one bad song. Even his B-sides are like pretty damn good. I'm like, God damn. Like, how do you make such bops? You know, but it's the love for the music. It's the pure love for the music.
Yeah. So, okay. So church was influential because you got to play the piano. You got to kind of show off what you're working on. When did you decide, like, I'm not just going to do this as a hobby. Like, I'm going to actually go after this dream.
I want to say that started being fermented in the fifth grade. Because when I was in the fifth grade, I started getting into musical theater. My mother, she was in school at the time, and she took a vocal music class, and she had me accompany her on the different songs she was singing. She was like, Chris, I'm singing Far From the Home I Love from Fiddler on the Roof. Why don't you play the piano part while I sing the vocal part? And so I had no idea what that song even was. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is, you know, very pretty melody. Learned Phantom of the Opera, Les Mis. And my first Broadway show that I ever saw was Les Mis. That was about fifth, sixth grade. And getting into all these musicals, and I was like, wow, like just how moving it can be. So musical theater was also a big part of my life and what made me realize that I wanted to do something in that avenue.
Yeah. And then what? You rolled out the red carpet and it was easy as that. What kind of trials or ups and downs? What was the road to getting to where you're at? Like, I'm looking at your YouTube channel, your Spotify, like it's all very well built out. You have a great following. I'm looking at Caliente right now. Like, was it easy or what were, I love to like, talk about the ups and downs a bit because I like to relate them to either a pursuit of fitness or a life in the career of a performing artist. What was that like for you?
It was an experience overall that made me constantly consider why I was doing what I do. There were obstacles that had to do with finance, that had to do with the right fit with personnel, collaborations, if you will, and niche-oriented things, like what niche am I? What market do I fulfill? What do I have the greatest chance of success in? Because I do many things. And one of the challenging things for me was that, yeah, although I did recognize that I had a talent for music, I wanted to get deeper into why I was doing what I do and also what would be the best thing that I could sell myself in. And one of the reasons why I became an urban Latin artist is because I love the cities, especially the cities in Latin America. They've always moved me. I'm from the suburbs originally. But I feel like I write what I know because my family is from the cities, big cities. like bigger than New York cities. And so that was inspiration for me. And I'm a first generation Latino, the first person in my family to be born in the United States. So that was a big story to tell. And that was a big struggle. That's one of the big struggles that I had coming up. It's finding myself in this Americanized setting, because although I am American, I did have a different background. My parents were divorced early on when I was 5 years old. So that was already a big obstacle there for me emotionally. And then having to pair that with finding myself in this world, not only as a Latino who liked musical theater and everything, but who was also a closeted gay person. You know, so it did make me stick out a lot, and it made me feel a lot more vulnerable. So it made me feel like, okay, do I have to fit in, or do I have to just tell my own story? And I just chose to tell my own story, and I'm perfecting that each day.
Yeah, I love to zoom in on the niche a little bit more. I feel like the more as a society we expand technologically, the more voices are coming at us, the more people are around us, the more artists, the more businesses, the more this and that. So it's all the more important to really like dial in who are you speaking to or who do you represent. And so I guess, is that how you just pretty much went about to choose your niche? Was that your upbringing as a first generation Latino and someone that was of the gay community and someone that had this passion to have themselves represented? Was it kind of a no-brainer as far as picking that lane, if you will? Like, was there ever a other route that you were considering, not doing Latin urban music, going, you know, doing something different?
Absolutely. I was actually a more classic pop indie artist before I was an urban Latin artist as J. Chris. I used to go under the name Chris Urquiaga. It was starting from scratch. It was, let me just write songs. I'm going to write songs that are all over the place. I don't care about sound. I don't care about, you know, appealing to a particular market, a particular sect. I just wanted to write. And I wanted to write songs that made me feel good, and that songs that, you know, that genuinely came out of me. However, I just figured that I had some growing to do, because when I started as an indie artist, I was still not out of the closet. I was still finding myself culturally. I was still perfecting my Spanish. I was still perfecting my Portuguese. I felt like I was developing as a person. So it was not a no-brainer. It was like I was doing a lot more R&B. I was doing a lot more pop. And it was still more Americanized, in the sense that, you know, everything was mostly in English that I wrote. And it kind of catered to an older white audience, which is not a bad thing at all. But at the same time, it's like you also have to find what it is you really want to say. Do you want to simply cater to the majority, or simply cater to the crowd that has money just because of that? Or do you want to tell a story and really represent a community that is more marginalized, that is more underrepresented in the media? And I chose that latter path that I just mentioned, because I felt that before. And it takes you a while to realize, like, whoa, I have felt that before. I mean, you know, the fact that now we're seeing theater that is actually representing minority cultures, Latino culture, the Black population, et cetera, et cetera. It's very comforting to know that, you know, theater has become more of this big, more welcoming space over the time.
Sure.
I just saw a show at the Kennedy Center by Elizabeth Acevedo, and it was so moving because they were talking about divorce, but not in the negative connotation, like, you know, with different families and, you know, the stepfather, stepmother, stepbrother, stepsister, but in the positive sense, you know. And so I was like, wow, like, all my life I've heard divorce so stigmatized, and now it's being, you know, shed to light as something that's so much a part of life. So
Yeah, indeed it is.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Would you say that because you just got started and you were doing more classical pop and other genres and just writing, would you say that that helped you to get where you're at? Because I'm bringing up the question because I think so oftentimes people hesitate to start because they want to know exactly where they're going, who they are, you know, what their ultimate path is going to be, and then they end up just not doing anything. Like, what was that for you where you were just brave enough to just start, just be where you're at and do what is on your heart and mind to put down on paper?
For me, it was showing up. You just show up and you just say, okay, I am going to toughen up, get some tough skin, and just go out into the arena, just put my songs out there online and perform them in person. I'm going to know if the crowd likes it or not. I think, you know, we develop this perception over time when we're performing. We can tell when it slaps and when it doesn't slap. And so for me, I just say, get started. Just do it. You will find it. Even if you don't have a manager, I didn't have a manager. Even if you don't have an agent, I didn't have an agent. If you don't have money, I didn't have money. So you find ways to do it. There are ways around this. There's a reason why the underdog, just with their willpower and their strength, they'll just shoot right up to the top. Why is that? It's because of the resilience. That's all it is.
Yeah. What was your rise to the top moment? What was one of like the big breaks that really turned the corner for you in your career?
For me, I think it was when there's a few moments and they happened in different ways. One of them was when I became an artist in residence at Strathmore in Maryland. This is when I was based in DC and, you know, really just starting up as an artist. When I started there, I mean, I just saw my work being appreciated and publicized in a way that I hadn't been before because I didn't have the marketing team that I'd wanted. But just to have their marketing team, just to have their list of advisors and people who could nurture you in your career, that really was helpful to me in building me as an artist. Another moment I have to say was when I, when I performed at the White House for the Obamas. That was a very special moment for me. Another moment is when I got to record with a famous Brazilian artist, Naldo Benny, and make a music video with him. That was pretty special. So yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Just because of my love for Brazil, I'd love to hear more about that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a project that I got a grant for, and I knew I wanted to make something in Brazil. I knew that I wanted to go back to my roots and make something special there. I wanted to record with a famous person in Brazil. I wanted to record with an influencer type person, someone who was already established in the country and just had that natural urban style. And my producer for the video actually had a contact. And he had him as a direct contact, actually. And he said, I can hit him up and see if he's interested. He was certainly interested, and he did it for us. And that was a big thing. And I loved just bringing all those people together. And just, that was such a big project. So many people were involved, and so many hands were involved in that.
Yeah. How did it impact you afterwards? You know, once you get to experience something like that, your mind expands, if you will, as far as the potential ahead of you. Did it make you more brave, per se?
Absolutely. It made me more brave. It made me more aware of things in my craft, in my business. It made me more knowledgeable. I was able to get just more access and more visibility to people that way through that project and through projects like that. I mean, thinking about when I did Macarena with my producer, he was my new producer at the time, Johnny Tech Audio. He was the one who updated my sound to become J. Chris. And he's a Dominican guy with so much style in his music and so much flavor that when I first heard him, I said, I got to work with this guy. And so ever since then, we've been working together nonstop, essentially. Hmm.
What kind of advice would you give to a young artist, a young vocalist or musician that was in your shoes in the beginning and just kind of, they don't have the agent like you didn't have, they don't have the manager or a producing team. Is it like you did? Just start pounding the pavement in some way, just get started? Or now that you reflect back, do you have any advice to streamline the process?
Well, number one, it is a process. So I'll just let them know that and just get on that horse. Just ride it. Trust the process and have fun with it. And don't be afraid what others think of you. Do not try to please others around you. Get out, see the world, expand your horizons. And just know that you being yourself and your best self is going to inspire people. And that's going to catch on. I mean, I just had someone who I do not know, someone from Colombia, who wrote me a message on Instagram that I thought was pretty sincere and pretty moving. I mean, she said, I want to thank you for what you do. It's been great seeing you in your journey. You came out of the closet. You changed your sound. You just did the damn thing. And I want to tell my son about you and how it's okay to be yourself. You know, the fact that someone wants to use you as an example for their young child is incredible in its own sense. So don't let that opportunity pass you by. Be a good example. That's above all. I think that's above all everything. You know?
Well, what was your journey with coming out, with being ready to just be unapologetically you, as we say?
I'd like to say it was two things. Two things that were catalysts. It was, of course, a process that was organically just happening. But one was the theater community. And I'm not saying that because I'm on this show. I'm saying that because it was actually the theater community. When I was working a lot at Signature Theater in DC, I was seeing all these shows that were just so good, so moving, and so colorful and vibrant. I was seeing children in drag, which I don't think I'd ever seen. You know, it's like, wow. I was seeing a lot of gay relationships being normalized on the stage. And I'm like, wow, that's something you just unfortunately don't see as much as you should. Now it has become a bit more visible. So the theater community and seeing their liberation, I love that. And second was my first boyfriend. He inspired me to come out publicly.
Okay. Having someone by your side experiencing what you're experiencing is always a I'll just say it's good to have that support of feeling like no matter what happens, this person is with you in that. So that's cool that you had, I'm sure they're very special even now to you in your journey.
Oh yeah,
for sure. All right. So taking a turn to September 18th, you will be performing at 54 Below with your show Latin Music Night, with a bunch of guests from the Broadway world, the TV world. Tell us a little bit about that and yeah, what we have to look forward to. Like I said, I will be in the city, so I love me some Latin vibes. So I hope to be there. Tell us a little bit about the show.
Absolutely. It's going to be a show where we're going to be celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, and we're just going to bring our repertoire. We're just going to bring what Latin music means to each of us. You know, are you singing in Spanish, Portuguese? Are you singing a nice reggaeton? Are you singing salsa? Are you singing musical theater? Lin-Manuel, yeah. Whatever it may be. I want them to bring each artist. I've told them, I want you to bring you to the table, your most authentic self. And so that's where we're just going to have a lot of fun. And this time around, this is the second time I'm doing this at 54 Below. And this time around, I wanted to get even more diverse. I wanted to include rappers. I wanted to include people who sing traditional Spanish genres, contemporary Spanish genres. So I'm just thrilled.
What do you know what you'll be singing? Do you know what you've chosen yet for your pieces to do?
Yeah, I'm curating my own set list. I am still like on the fence between some songs. I'm still in that phase, but pretty soon I'll be finalizing. It's going to be mostly my urban Latin originals and probably one Chris Urquiaga song. And there's going to be a little surprise at the end. We're gonna do a song that rhymes with Juno. I think you can figure out maybe what that song is. Juno, you know. But
all right, we'll leave it at that.
Yep, exactly.
I am in Miami right now, so the Latin vibe is heavily among us. I need to get into Spanish classes immediately. But I've been listening in the past year or so to Latin music more than I have in my entire life. And I love it. I feel like 54 Below is going to have to clear out the tables and chairs because it's hard not to want to dance. Like dancing is tied heavily to the music. Like there is no just staying in your seat a lot of the times when you're listening to Latin music.
You're right about that. You better get up and move.
You better get up and move. We're going to have all this in the description of our episode with you, but where would you want to direct our listeners first on getting to know you? Your Instagram, your YouTube, on Spotify? Where should we check out J. Chris and all of your material first?
I'm thinking my Instagram. My Instagram, because I got both my fitness and my music stuff on there. So, yeah, Instagram, it'll be jchris_music.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, everyone that's listening, we'll have the Instagram in there, the YouTube, the link to the Spotify, so you can check out all of J. Chris's music. J. Chris, thanks so much for being on the episode today. Can't wait for September 18th. I'm going to be helping push aside the tables and chairs when things get a little too lit in there. I can't wait.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for reaching out to me. It really means a lot that you would find inspiration in my fitness journey.
Yeah, I certainly did. Everyone listening, J. Chris here. You can check out his Instagram, like he just said, jchris_music. You can check out the website, jchrisofficial.com. That'll all be in the description of the episode. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, everyone. Actors or athletes, train like one. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just Ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.